We have, of course, been looking at Josiah, and we are in 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. I was thinking this weekend, we were at a wedding yesterday, and Jacksons were there. Katie and Cass were playing, Katie's mother. And we just got into discussion about Josiah and other things. It was quite an interesting conversation. And it really got me thinking a lot about this whole idea of losing the Word of God. And it seems almost surreal to me that your civilization get to a point where you lose the Bible. I mean, it just seems, I think the freedom that we have with it here in our country, it almost seems like I would never do that. I would never go that way. I would never lose the Scriptures. It's really quite interesting. I want to read in that regard, before we go to our text, I want to read, this is a book written by J.I. Packer called A Passion for Faithfulness. And he shares with his readers what is actually a riveting account of the Puritan pastor Richard Rogers. And Richard Rogers was calling his congregation to value the Word of God more highly. Now listen to the scene. Mr. Rogers was on the subject of the Scriptures. And he falls into an expostulation with the people about their neglect of the Bible. He personates God to the people, telling them, "Well, I have trusted you so long with my Bible. You have slighted it. It lies in such and such houses, all covered with dust and cobwebs. You care not to listen to it. Do you use my Bible so? Well, you shall have my Bible no longer." And Rogers apparently took up his Bible from the pulpit and seemed as if he were going to walk away with it. But immediately he turns again, personates the people of God, falls down on his knees, cries and pleads most earnestly, "Lord, whatever thou dost do to us, take not thy Bible from us. Kill our children, burn our houses, destroy our goods, only spare us thy Bible. Only take not away thy Bible." And then he personates God again to the people. "Say you so? Well, I will try you a while longer. And here is my Bible for you. I will see how you will use it, whether you will love it more, observe it more, practice it more, and live more according to it." By these actions, Rogers put all the congregation into so strange a posture that the place was a mere bokeem. The word in Hebrew means crying. The people generally were deluged with their own tears. And he himself, when he got out, was fain to hang a quarter of an hour upon the neck of his horse, weeping before he had power to mount his horse. So strange an impression was there upon him, and generally upon the people, upon having been expostulated with for the neglect of the Bible. Packer says there's more than one way to lose a Bible. We have Bibles everywhere. It doesn't appear to be much chance of our losing it in the way that it was lost in Josiah's day. But we can lose it in another way. We can lose its message even while we hold it in our hands. So I've really been, this study of Josiah has just really brought that to the forefront for me, is how, I really wondered, how could you lose your Bible? Well, they did. And we're going to see it tonight is even worse than we thought with these people. Look at this passage. Engage your own heart. 2 Kings 23, verses 4 through 8. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the threshold, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. And he deposed the priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to make offerings in the high places at the cities of Judah and around Jerusalem. Those also who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon and the constellations and all the host of the heavens. And he brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron. He burned it at the brook Kidron and beat it to dust and cast the dust of it upon the graves of the common people. He broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes who were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the Asherah. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had made offerings from Geba to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places of the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the gate of the city. Father, as we consider this passage, I pray that you would put the weight of it upon our hearts, and that we would see the decadence of the people of God, but realize that reformation is at their fingertips as you work through this young king to bring your people back to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to take some time and go through these verses one at a time. Verse 4, remember what has just happened, what the context was. Verses 1 through 3, Josiah has made a covenant with the Lord. Remember the covenant, a bond in blood, a relationship between Yahweh and his people. And Josiah has made that covenant with the Lord. And at the end of verse 3, we see the statement, and all the people joined in the covenant. It's a wonderful expression of acceptance, isn't it, of this covenant. And it's the covenant's all based upon the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible that they found in the temple. And then we read this. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the threshold, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. This really indicates how bad Judah had become spiritually. And it's actually quite hard-hitting in the original. It says this, that the king commanded Hilkiah and all the priests and the keepers of the threshold to bring out of the temple of Yahweh. There's the covenant name being used there. The covenant name of God for his people, Yahweh. Bring out of Yahweh's temple all the vessels made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. The very temple of God, remember what the temple signifies, is the very presence of Yahweh with his people. And in that temple is the worship of Baal, the storm god of the Canaanites, and the worship of Asherah. She's Baal's sister and Baal's wife. And so you have Baal's consort, the two major gods of the Canaanite religion are being worshipped in the temple. And for all the host of heaven, worshipping the stars and the moon and the sun, all the host of heaven. That's what's happened. And here Josiah begins a purge of the temple. Isn't it amazing? That's where he begins. He begins in the temple of Yahweh because that is the very center of true religion of Israel, or it should be the very center of the true religion of Judah and Jerusalem. As God had said, I will set my house in Jerusalem, and that's where you will come to worship me. Here the people are worshiping Baal and Asherah and all the elements of the heavens. The very central place of worship of Yahweh. Josiah comes in with a purging and a cleansing. We see here that he takes all of these vessels, takes them outside of Jerusalem into the Kidron Valley, which is down below of Jerusalem. It's the place of the cemeteries of Jerusalem. It's the unclean place. It's where the Hinnom or Gehenna Valley is. Remember Jesus saying that Gehenna is like hell. It's the place of the burning. That's where Josiah takes these vessels to Baal and Asherah and the gods of the heavens and takes them down there and he burns them. And then did you see what he does with them? It's quite interesting. And then he carries their ashes to Bethel. You're reading it, you're wondering, why does he go there? Well, remember, Jeroboam in the northern kingdom had set up golden calves in two places. One in Dan, which was at the very northern part of his kingdom, and one at Bethel, which was the very southern part of his kingdom. Right from Jerusalem to Bethel. It's an easy walk, just a few miles. Bethel had been the center of false religion since the time of Jeroboam, 250 years before Josiah. And that's still going on in Dan, and it's still going on in Bethel. And he takes those vessels and burns them to dust, and then takes that dust and throws them up at Bethel, that unclean pagan place that Jeroboam has set up. It's quite striking, the symbolism here, isn't it? So here we have this reformation has begun with the conviction of the king of his heart. God has broken the king's heart. And then finds the scriptures and he loves God's word. He comes under conviction of God's word. And then what does he do? He's going to rid the land of the pagan idols. He's going to clean God's temple. Yes, he repaired it earlier. Now he's going to do something of greater repair. And that's the spiritual repair of the temple. Do you see how deep the paganism has come into Judah and Jerusalem? Now look what happens in verse 5. And he deposed the priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to make offerings in the high places at the cities of Judah and around Jerusalem. Those also who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon and the constellation and all the host of the heavens. And so now Josiah, he has rid the temple of these vessels to Baal and Asherah. And now he's going to depose the false priests who have led the idolatry. These false priests who were leading the people in worship on these high places around Jerusalem and all through the land of Judah. The people are to worship at the temple of Yahweh, but they're worshiping rather on these high places. And you notice it says, and the kings of Judah are the ones who set them up. It's the kings of Judah who set up this false religion, this Canaanite paganism throughout the land of God's people. Now we don't know, the text doesn't say, were these Levites who had profaned their calling? The text doesn't tell us. Or others who had no right to the priesthood. Do you remember what Jeroboam did? He had set up a whole new priesthood who weren't Levites. Perhaps that's what's going on in Judah and Jerusalem. Reformation requires not only the purging of the pagan elements, but it requires the purging of false religious leaders. The priesthood who are leading God's people into this terrible situation. paganism. It was the kings of Judah who had ordained these priests. Now, it's really interesting in verse 5 where it says, and he deposed the priests. The word there for priests is not the common Hebrew word kohanim or kohen. That's used for the Levites. No, there's a different word here. It's the word komer. And it's only used in the Old Testament of priests of idolatry. Not used of the Levites, who God had set up the Levites for proper worship. These are the komer, the idol priests. Then look what he does in verse 6. And he brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and beat it to dust and cast the dust of it upon the graves of the common people. He brought out the Asherah. The Asherah, what they are wooden poles or posts like trees that the people would worship. It's a fertility symbol. Asherah, as I said, is the Canaanite female goddess, the consort of Baal, personified in this wooden pole, this goddess of fertility. Baal's the god of fertility, so everything's fertile when you're a Canaanite. What does Josiah do with it? Look what it says. Took the Asherah from the house of Yahweh, from the temple. It was in the temple. He took it outside of Jerusalem, God's holy city, the city of the great king, is what Jerusalem's called. The city of the great king. He took it outside of Jerusalem to the brook Kidron, where all the cemeteries are. Even today, you can go to the Kidron, you'll see burial after burial in this area. And he took the Asherah and he beat it to dust. And he cast the dust of it upon the graves of the common people. This is the city's cemetery garbage dump and rubbish dump. It's the unclean place. And so he takes those ashes and throws them on the graves of the common people so that the Asherah would become unclean, seen as unclean. He ground it to dust. That reminds us of another story. I think it does. If your Bibles go back to Exodus chapter 32, in the great golden calf incident. Exodus 32, verse 20. Remember, Aaron had made the golden calf, had taken the gold from the people and made that calf. Moses came down from the mountain and said, Aaron, what have you done? He said, well, they gave me the jewelry, I threw it in the fire, and this calf jumped out. Of course, we know he was lying. And what does Moses do in verse 20? He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. It's quite a curse on the people of Israel, isn't it? He ground it to dust. And that is what Josiah is doing with the Asherah. There is no room in the temple of Yahweh for Asherah. There's no room in the temple of Yahweh for Baal. Josiah, a man of conviction, a man of godliness. And then it continues in verse 7. It only gets worse. And he broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes who were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the Asherah. The male cult prostitutes, which again is a common Canaanite practice. Remember, all of Canaanite religion revolves around fertility. And so there would be sacred or religious prostitution at the Canaanite temples. A fertility ritual for these fertility gods of Baal and Asherah. There they are, plying their trade in the temple of Yahweh. And the women weaving their hangings for Asherah. We're not exactly sure what that means. I think probably the best understanding of that is not only do you have male cult prostitutes, but you have female cult prostitutes who work for Asherah. You have both. That's quite common in Canaanite practice. Do you see what has happened to Judah and Jerusalem? They have become Canaanites. They have become Canaanites. The very temple, the very center of God's worship. Does that make you look back at what we've talked about weeks before? How could God be so mad at this people that He said He was going to destroy them? Well, we're learning, aren't we, why He was so mad. Okay, and then we see in verse 8, and He brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defile the high places where the priests had made offerings from Geba to Beersheba. And He broke down the high places of the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the gate of the city. Josiah is not content with only the cleansing of the temple. He goes throughout Judah, from Geba, which is in the north, to Beersheba, which is in the south, throughout the whole land of Judah, destroying the places of idolatrous worship throughout the land. North to south, cleansing the land of the high places, places of Canaanite worship. And in the second half of verse 8, and He pulled down the high places of the gates which were at the door of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which was upon a man's left at the gate of the city. Those are the high places in Jerusalem that Solomon and other kings had set up for the worship of Baal and Asherah within the city of Jerusalem. So He goes first purging the temple, goes then throughout all the land destroying the high places, and then comes back to Jerusalem and destroys the high places in Jerusalem. It has filtered throughout the entire kingdom. It's not just in Jerusalem. It's from Geba to Beersheba. You see what this converted man is facing. Simply overwhelming paganism. Yet as he is a king for Yahweh. He's a king for the Lord. We're hardly done, but we're going to save it for next week. Okay, so let's pray, please. Most Heavenly Father, we thank You for this story of Josiah and how You brought reformation through this king, and particularly through the discovery of Your Word, through Your Scriptures that convicted his heart, made him a man who wanted to serve You, and to serve You well, and to serve You only. He's a radical monotheist. One who loved the Lord. May we be that way. May we love You with such fervor. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.